that your way is the best way. And Lord, there are probably folks here today who are struggling and going through difficult times. And I pray the lesson would be a help to them and encouragement to them. Do pray for Harold today, especially that you would encourage his heart, help him in these very difficult days. Pray for his Mary's son and grandchildren. Lord, that Mary's passing on to heaven would affect them spiritually. If they're not saved, that they might get saved and might begin to live the Christian life. And Lord, we pray for those that have great needs today, again, that you'd minister to them and help them. Bless our time together now, in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel 22, 2 Samuel 22. Friday afternoon, or maybe it's Friday morning, Preacher Lashley came into my office and gave me his latest book, and gave one to all the staff members. I think probably he'll be giving them out for $10 to you next week. No, I don't know how they're doing it. But I read through it quickly and read yesterday and last night and Friday and read the book. And it's interesting. It is about kind of a general overview of his life at the beginning. And then he talks about his three mission trips to Brazil. And it's interesting to me that as he recounts all the events of his travels, that there were often times when he needed the Lord's help, specifically when he was preparing to preach to all these different folks. Now, what do you think Preacher Lashley did when he saw that he had a need for God's help? You know Preacher Lashley, he prayed, and he often talks about getting down in the middle of the motel room or laying on the bed and praying and seeking God. And then as he did that, he saw God working in a mighty way. And then in this book, he's really just recounting, he's praising the Lord. And I began thinking about that process. And this is really the process that every believer should enjoy. And as I was reading this book, I said, Lord, I want my life to be like that. When I have problems or needs, that I can go to the Lord and I can pray with a pure heart and see the power of God in my life, and then praise. Now, this is the normal Christian life. It should be the normal Christian life. When we have problems, we pray with a pure heart, we see the power of God, and we praise Him for what He has done. Now, it's amazing to me because as we're studying 2 Samuel 22, this is exactly the outline for this book or this chapter. Well, I say exactly. There is a preface. But after you get through the preface, we see David recounting his problems. And when he had problems, what did he do? He cried out to the Lord. He called unto the Lord. And he said, and the Lord heard my cry. And then he recounts how God heard his cry because he cried out of a pure heart. And he saw God's power. And then the last part, which we're going to cover today, is a time of David praising God for what he did. Let me ask you a question. Do those four or five things, do you see that occurring in your life? Now, the first one's a problem. Now, I know that occurs in your life. We can start right here with Micah, and we can go right around the room, and every one of us could account about problems that we've had in our lives. Okay? Problems are universal. They're all different, but they're universal. Can we go to the next step in your life? Can you say, Gary, you know what? When I had those problems, because I had a pure heart, I was right with God, I was able to pray, and I saw the power of God. And because of that, I have praised Him. Problems, prayer from a pure heart, see the power of God, and praise Him for it. This ought to be the norm in our life as believers. Is it the norm in your life? Are you a little warm this morning? We can solve that problem. I'd much rather have you be too cold than too hot. There you go. Thank you, David. Worked fine. David's had a rough week this week. This hot weather has warned him out. So let's get back to 2 Samuel 22. And again, we've already covered most of these main points here. We had the setting. He's at a time of the end of his life. He's looking back. He's recounting all the things God has done. And he goes through and he gives us those great descriptions of God. Can you help me with that? There are about 7 or 8 of them. What are some of the things that David said God was? God is my rock, fortress, shield, high tower, banner. Not in this passage, but that is another good one. And boy, Pastor preached a great message on that a while back. Salvation, deliverer, savior. So he goes through and he recounts really who God is. And by the way, until you understand who God is, you will never pray. See? Until you understand who God is, you will try to solve all those problems yourself. And what does that do? It compounds the problem, makes the problem worse. So David went through in that preface, and he showed us all these great things about God. And then David told us about his problems in verse 5 through 7. Remember, he said the waves are crashing over and over and over again. He said the ungodly men were like a flood. You ever feel that way? I mean, they're just everywhere, and they're about to drown you. He said, I'm caught in a trap and I can't get out. And so he called on the Lord, he prayed. And then God responded in such a powerful way in verse 7 through 28. And we saw that last week. God heard his cry. And I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here, just remind you that God is able to move heaven and earth to answer your prayer. He is able to move heaven and earth. Remember, God is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think. God is able. God is able, folks. All right? So David goes through that and he sees God's power. And let's take time now, look at verse 29 through 51. We see David's praise in the psalm. By the way, if we pray and we see God's power, this is the logical conclusion of this thing. We need to thank the Lord. How many times do we say, oh, God, I can't make it. And God answers your prayer and that's it. We forget the final part. Why does God answer prayer? To get glory. So he will be magnified. So people will see him. If we don't do the last step, if we don't do the praise part, then God doesn't get the glory. Does that make sense? All right, so here's the praise. And I want to give you several things here real quickly and we'll be done with the chapter. Number one, he praised God because God enlightened David. He enlightened David. Look in verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Did David go through some dark times? Tell me some of them. When Saul pursued him, that was a dark time. Especially when you realize that David had already been anointed king by Samuel. And here he is on the run. What else? When he sinned with Bathsheba and the prophet came and said, hey buddy, you're it. That was a dark time. And really, that 9 months or year between was a dark time. What else? The Philistines. He was fighting the Philistines all the time. Okay, what else? Ziklag, yeah, they go out and they come back and their wives and their children and their whole stuff's all gone. And by the way, well, I'm jumping the gun here. I don't want to get there yet. What are the things? Absalom. Yeah. You will experience some dark times in life. And I'm sure there were times that David was discouraged. He was despondent. He was depressed. And what do you need in those times? You need God's direction. You need God's encouragement. And it's interesting to me that the word light in the Word of God, what does it typically signify? What is the light? Jesus is the light. God is the light. The light is truth. The light is hope. Understanding. And again, I've said this before, but when I'm in the midst of a trial, one of my greatest needs is, what in the world am I supposed to do? And you need light, and God is the source of light. And he said, look, God was my lamp. Mark mentioned Ziklag. Remember that passage? That was a great passage. And when they came back, all the men wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill their leader. And what did David do? Did two things. You remember this? It's been a long time ago. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he did one other thing. And he inquired of the Lord. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, you remember who God is. You remember that God is a rock. You remember that God is a refuge, a high tower. That God is able. And so here he is, and in the midst of all of this stuff in Psalm 27:1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Anybody know the rest of that verse? Whom shall I fear? How are you afraid of darkness? Come on, how many of you are liars? I tell you what, when it's just pitch dark and you can't see anything, I already told you about my claustrophobia. Is there a disease about being afraid of darkness too? There probably is. Cowards. Thanks. Appreciate that. Do you feel the love? Hey. All you need is just a little bit of light, doesn't it? Yesterday afternoon, I was crawling around in my crawl space underneath, and I had this wonderful flashlight, which as I got back to the furthest part of my house, I was undoing some wiring so I could redo it, and the light dies. Fortunately, I had my handy cell phone. Of course, it's always amazing how it works. I get my cell phone out. I got the flashlight so I can see what I'm doing here, and people begin to text me. People begin to call me. Leave me alone. I'm battling the spiders and the snakes, you know. And boy, I tell you what, I sure was glad to have that light. And what a great thing to have when you're going through a dark time in your life, that you have a light. What is the light for the believer? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And just like that crazy cell phone, I kind of think it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. You can do anything with your cell phone now. It's wonderful. I got to get some garage doors. I want to get one of those garage door openers, and I can use my cell phone from Colorado and open and close my garage door just to see what my neighbors think. I mean, I just think that'd be neat, you know? But here's your spiritual Swiss Army knife. When you don't know what to do, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, it's interesting to me, in his book, Preacher Talks, he said every morning, and he'd read his daily reading, and then he'd go through the Psalms and just read all the passages he had highlighted just to encourage his soul. Provided light in darkness. And David said, you know what? I went through a lot of dark times, but he said, the Lord is my light. He was my light. In Psalm 119:130, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. David is praising God because God enlightened him. Let me encourage you today. I know there are some of you who go through some tough times. Here's the answer. Let the word of God be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Let God enlighten you in your darkness. And that's what David's praising God for. Secondly, he's praising God because God empowered him. Look at verse 30 through 35. For by thee I have run through a troop. Of course, when I think of a troop, I think of Cub Scouts. And I don't think that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about running through a great army. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them. What's a buckler? Shield. A buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Now that's a weird illustration for us. What's a hind? Well, that's my back. You say, no, that's not your back. It's a deer. It's actually a female deer. I was going to doe a deer, but I won't do that. It's a female deer. And you see, you see these mountain goes up on these steep mountains, and they're very, very dangerous. And they're just walking around like, hey, everything's fine. And he said, you know what? I had some rough, difficult paths. But God gave me sure footing in those trials. You ever been to the place where you're slipping, you're going down? And you need something to put your feet upon. Something solid. And he said, he makes my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. There's all kinds of illustrations in that passage. But you know what he's basically saying, folks, is God has given me the strength to make it through. You ever had a time in your life when you said, man, I just don't know if I'm going to make it through this? Let me give you a great verse. It's a verse you know well, Philippians 4:13. And it says, I can do most things. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ. There's the important part, which strengtheneth me. He also says, believer, you're going through a tough time. I want you to remember that in your weakness, that is when your strength is made perfect. Let me ask you a question. Does God have enough power to get you through the trial you're going through? Sure he does. Now there's a couple great verses in here. One is verse 31. And it says, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, I don't really have trouble with that, do you? I mean, God knows everything. God can do everything. It only makes sense that God's way is perfect. But as you look down, notice what he says in verse 33. And it says, God is my strength and power. Through his strength and through his power, what happens? He maketh my way perfect. Hudson Taylor says, he's a great missionary to China, went through all kinds of trials. He says, the very fact that God is God should be sufficient to satisfy us that his will is necessarily good and perfect and to make it acceptable. If it is not acceptable to us, it shows that we are wrong and foolish. Okay? If God's way is not acceptable to us, the problem is not God, the problem is us. Now, look, God is able to make your way perfect and right as you submit to him. In his strength, he can help you make it through. Now, I want to give you one other great. I'm going to have you turn. Hold your place there in 2 Samuel. Turn to Philippians 2. This is a great verse. My word is great. Pastor says powerful. It's a powerful verse, all right? Philippians 2 and verse 13. Well, here's the funny part. That's the wrong reference. It is, but it's not the one I want to give you. Well, I've got it written down, so I'll give you the right one. It says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. What is it? Didn't I say 2:13? What book was I in? Philemon, or let me try that again. Well, it doesn't really matter. I've got it written right here. When all else fails, read what's in front of you. Okay. Now think about this. God worketh in you to give you the will, to give you the desire to do his will. But he doesn't stop there. What if God just worked in your life, Nick, to say, boy, I really want to do the will of God, and then he said, okay, buddy, good luck. God works in our lives to give us the desire to do his will, but he doesn't stop there. He also gives us the ability to do his will. Wouldn't that be cruel if you had a kid, and maybe you've done this, I don't know, and you asked your kid to do something you know they couldn't do, just so they'd fail? Now, I know you wouldn't do that. At least I hope you wouldn't do that. Why would God? Why would God say to Mike, okay, Mike, buddy, here is my will for your life. You're on your own now. Look, God works through his strength to give us the willingness and the doingness. There's no such word as that. But God is working not only to show you what you ought to do, but to help you to do it. David said, God has been my strength. Let me give you one more and we're done. God enabled him to defeat his enemies. Actually, there's two more. We're going to have to hustle. There's two more. Verse 36 through 43, and we'll just kind of read these quickly, and I'll make a few comments. It says in verse 36, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again till I had consumed them. I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise, yea, they were fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle, that they rose up against me, them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Pretty strong stuff. What is he saying? God gave him victory over every single enemy. Now, that's an amazing thought. Early on, you mentioned all of his enemies. There was a bunch of them. How many of his enemies were able to withstand David? Not one. I mean, everybody he fought, he defeated. That is amazing to think about. I already mentioned 2 Corinthians 12:9. But it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And folks, a simple matter of fact is, God is powerful, and he can help us against the enemies that we face. Remember this verse, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. In Psalm 44:5, he says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Most of you don't know Ian Paisley. He is a preacher in Northern Ireland. He's a Protestant preacher. Of course, in Ireland, there's a great battle between the Catholics and the Protestants. He is in Parliament, and he's a hated man. And he said, look, he said, God, they cannot touch me until God is through with me. And he's right. He's right. All the enemies David defeated over and over and over again, all the enemies fail. And then look at the 44 through 51, here the end of the chapter. He begins to praise God again because God had established his rule over the people. It's one thing to conquer them, it's another thing to rule over them, okay? And look what happens, verse 44. Thou hast also delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, and to David, and to his seed forevermore. He said, God gave me the power to overcome them. He gives me the power to subdue them and to rule over them. He said, God can take down my enemies. Now that's an amazing thought too. I think I can share this, Joyce. I think without getting anybody in trouble, but for some time we had wanted to get into a certain place to minister in the cancer ministry, and there was a lady that was just totally opposed to it and said, no, you can't come in here at all. And the cancer ministry folks been praying about that. Did you tell me she got fired? Anyway, she's gone. And the new lady says, hey, come on. Come on. You better be careful when you oppose the plans of God. Okay? It's a dangerous thing to do. David is praising God for all he's done. I want to wrap up the whole thing. I want you to think for a moment about your own life. Okay? Are you living a normal Christian life? You say, what is the normal Christian life? Well, in this case, it is a life that has problems. We all have that one solved. But when we have problems, we have a pure life. We have a walk with God that allows us to pray and see the power of God. And when God works, we praise Him. Do you have that going on in your life? Or is that just for people like Preacher Lastly? You know, the spiritual people. David's whole psalm here is, look, I had problems because I was a pure heart. I prayed. God answered my prayer. I saw His power in a mighty way. And now I'm going to praise Him. The Lord liveth. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. That's the normal Christian life. That's how it ought to be. Now, how far are you getting in the process? Okay, again, we're all the first one because we all have problems. Do you have a walk with God that allows you to pray and move the hand of God so that you see the power of God? When was the last time you really saw the power of God in your life? I know the Galleon saw it last week when Rebecca was here. That was a great victory. Now, I'm not saying it has to be something huge or something where, you know, someone has raised from the dead or something, you know. But I mean just where you pray and you see God do something. It was interesting yesterday morning. My mother-in-law is here. I've been praying a lot. No, I'm just kidding. And so typically my wife visits with me on Saturday mornings, and I said, Lord, I don't really have any pressing visits. I don't have anybody to visit with. What am I supposed to do? Well, as it turns out, Pastor was under a great burden of study yesterday, and Micah was supposed to visit with Pastor. He said, why don't you take Micah? I said, fine, but who am I going to go see? He said, oh, here, let me give you some visits. Yeah, we got visits. And, you know, Pastor always gets the best visits, so I got the best visits. They were great. And we had a good time. Got to see Brandon yesterday. Hey, that's just a small thing. But that's something the Lord did. You know, I want to have a life where every week of my life I can say, here's something I know God did. You see, David gets down to the end of this thing and he said, the Lord liveth. How did he know? Because he had seen the Lord working in his life. Can you say that? Can you say, Gary, I just want you to know that, boy, in the month of May, I have seen God work in my life. And I can tell you, the Lord liveth not by because somebody else said it or because the Bible says it, but because I have experienced it firsthand. We should be able to. I'll be honest with you. I think often as believers, we just get satisfied with a lifeless Christianity. With something that we believe in our head, but we never really see in action. Now, David probably had more problems than all of us put together. So he got to see the Lord's hand a lot. But the simple matter of fact is, every week of your life, there's something that you need the Lord's help with, whether you realize it or not. And we should live in such a way that we can pray and we can see the hand of God working in our life. And when He does, we ought to praise Him for it. And I challenge you to examine your own life. Say, Lord, help me to have that kind of life, the life that David had. The life of problems and prayer from a pure heart and the power of God and of praise. Reality, folks. That's what we need. we need. Lord, we do thank you for this chapter we've been studying now for some time and how it's all come together. And Lord, we thank you that you are alive. And Lord, we want that reality in our lives. We want to be able to pray and move the hand of God and see you work in a mighty way. And Lord, then we will praise you and thank you for your goodness. And you'll be glorified, you'll be magnified by our lives. Help us, I pray, as believers, not to be satisfied with a lifeless Christianity, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.